something real and to have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Come on, somebody, if you know you've been redeemed and the Son has set you free, you are open up your mouth and give him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor that's due his name.
Because you deserve it. Redemption is my song to sing. I am free.
Yeah.
I'm free to lift my hands. Holy Father, I'm free to worship you. Oh God, yeah.
Down the stairs, out the bedroom, the voice
either going to glorify or magnify what is going on, because I know deep down in my spirit there's a great move of God getting ready to come in the earth. Matter of fact, it's already here. It's hovering, but what's happening now and what God is going to do will never, ever mix together. So it must end its time so God can come in and take us to the next realm and let his glory take over the earth. Well, we thank God tonight. I'm so glad. Just be saved and sanctified. Holy Ghost, feel and in this earth, breathing, walking, moving, and doing the will of God. He's such a great God, and there's nobody else like him. Well, tonight, let's see who's in listening town tonight. Amen. We are so grateful. I know she got to be here with all this good opening. And amen, I'm glad for this free bird singing her free song tonight. Amen. None other than our producer, Dr. Kimmy Kim. Kimmy Kim, you in the house?
Kimmy Kim is in the building. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I heard you playing your free bird song.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. I heard you play your free bird song. Yes, sir. I said, they better watch out. She might fly away tonight.
Oh, my goodness. I love you guys. You guys are amazing.
You know we do. You know we do. All right. Let me go down to Georgia in that College Park area. Here's the Apostle Felicia Flight with us tonight. Okay, I don't hear nothing in the College Park area. Amen. Let me try Indiana. Here's the Pastor Ella Henderson. Is the Pastor Ella Henderson with us tonight? Out of Indianapolis.
Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am here.
All right, then, Pastor Henderson. Sounds like she's ready and on fire. The Lord is good. God bless you tonight. Now let's go down to the Upper Marlboro area. Amen. Is the Bishop Elect Ernest E. Richard with us as of yet? I don't hear nothing. The truck must be rolling in strange area where he can't come in yet. So he'll be with us after a while. Hey, man, I'm running back to that peace place. Maybe some cobbler, something is going on. All right, do we have the Apostle Urban A. Whitlow Jr. with us tonight? Are you online, sir?
The Lord bless you. Thank God for the opportunity to join in once again here on The Voice. Man of God, bless you.
God bless you. I know I got one. They didn't say that about mentioning that name. But I do know I have one sitting back, amen, on the phone, but I think they said they're going to be on mute. They may not be, but they said they're going to be on, but they're going to listen at the broadcast. So I will not say a name, but I will say, amen, we have others that are online. Amen. Let me try it one more time. Anybody online from College Park? All right. All right. Bishop Desmond, did you get through? All right. We're ready to begin, Genesis, give us our opening prayer. And when we read this scripture, Father Widow, I just want to read the problem of that church, and I want to read what God said they need to do. We only been in chapter 2 or chapter 3, so just read what the problem was and what God told them to be. I mean, what God told them to do. Amen. And then we will be in chapter 4 tonight. All right, Pastor Henderson, give us our prayer.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Thank you, O God, for this platform. Thank you for the opportunity, O God, to share in your word and to fellowship, Father God. Lord, we just give you praise, glory, and honor for each one that have tuned in on tonight, Father God. We pray that something will be said, O God, on tonight that will encourage somebody, lift somebody, heal somebody, and cause someone's life to go forward in you. Father, we ask that you have your way in the midst of us even on tonight. Let your will be done and let your power prevail in our midst. And we give your name the praise, the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
All right, man of God, I'm not certain where you are, but I'm going to pick up in chapter 2 and read verse 7, actually verse 8. That would be the church of Smyrna. I don't know if that's where you are. Chapter 2, verse 8, and unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say that they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh, he shall not be hurt of the second death. And then, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And then unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy work, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. All the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, that as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none of the burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to the shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Over in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, and unto the angel, the church in Sardis, write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore thou how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know I will come upon thee.
What I want you to do, because we skipped some stuff somehow, so wait. I want you to go back to that church of Thyatira. I want you to go back to that church. I don't know how we wound up in chapter 3 last week. We missed at least two or three churches. I want to go back to Thyatira for a reason, though. We'll go there, and if we have to back again another week, we'll do that. But let's go to Thyatira.
All right, going back to Thyatira. Okay, so, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess.
Let's stop right there. First thing I want to pick up that he addresses. Know this now, whenever he's talking in Revelation, he addresses who he is. Emphatically, indefinitely, he addresses totally who he is. That he is the one in charge. I'm the one who got eyes like flame of fire, hair like lamb. Oh, I mean, he defines and gives definition to himself that it is impossible to fight who is talking. My first question tonight, why is it if God is so in-depth in his definition in the book of Revelation, why people say it now? I don't know who spoke to me, but something or somebody spoke to me. Please tell me.
Because people don't want to be bold enough. People don't want to be bold enough to say that it's the Lord. The reason they want to be bold enough to say it's the Lord, because most people don't know the voice of the Lord, because they don't spend time talking to the Lord to know when the Lord is talking. So therefore, they'll say something. But my thing is, if something is talking to you, why don't you go to something when you're dealing with something instead of coming to the man or the woman of God?
All right. Anybody else? All right, don't sit on the line and be dead now. Okay, you got anything? Anybody else want to put something on that?
I concur.
You Amen. Concur what?
Exactly you what concur? Apostle Smith said, that sometimes people don't want to be real. They want to sugarcoat things. And unfortunately, we are losing people because some of the leaders are really trying to fit in with the world. We can't do both. You either hot or cold, not lukewarm. And so I really believe what Apostle Irvin Whitwell said is true. And also we do have a few more callers, and we do have Chanel on. But I really believe that if we preach holiness and stay and stand on the ground, I really believe people will have more compassion, not the church of Jesus, but the church building. I really believe people will have more conviction when it comes to respecting the leaders, because I understand that Jesus hung around with people like me, but he still had a standard. He didn't allow his standard to be lower. He was just more of a servant. He was very meek and mild, but he didn't never lower his righteousness. I'm still reminded when he was talking to the lady at the well with many husbands, he could have easily condemned her, but he still had that meek, mild servitude. And so I understand that we want to, you know, go to the level of some people, but we don't have to lose our holiness in Jesus. Of course, we must allow the Spirit to guide us to have that holiness as well. And sometimes people take their egos with them. You know, when they have so many people in their congregation, or when they have arrived, you have so many people because they have arrived that they have, you know, power. And so I'm going to be honest. I've seen so many people who don't know how to manage power. You know, like when God blesses you and you can help people, they tend to become like that one guy in Luke, you know, building on their own prosperity instead of helping each other. So that is what I would say.
Okay. Sister Chanel, God bless you. God bless you. I don't want to pass you by. You're always so quiet, so you're there.
Yeah, I'm here tonight.
All right. If there's anybody else online want to make yourself known, we welcome you.
Good evening, everybody. This is Felicia.
This is who?
Felicia.
Well, Felicia, how are you tonight? Glad to have you along, too. Amen. Anytime you feel like joining in the conversation, if I don't call your name soon enough, let me know you'd like to say something. All right. Now, he recognizes himself. Make yourself known, just like he does with us now. I don't believe that God ever speaks without making himself known. Look all through Scripture. He always made himself known about who it was. I am the Lord thy God. I am the one. And all, I mean, I'm just giving some things right now, but he has always saying what he had to say. So I just did not understand how now we don't know who's speaking and which way we're supposed to go. We're just following a voice, not the voice. A voice. Well, you follow a voice, ain't no telling where you can wind up.
Uh-huh.
And as Apostle Whitlow said, if you're going to move in that voice, you better know that that voice is God. Not just something speaking. Because he discussed with us in the book of John, there are many voices in the earth. I said M-A-N-Y. There are many voices in the earth. If you don't, and he went on to say, but the sheep know. The sheep know my voice. And the stranger but the stranger they will not follow. Now, the only way you cannot follow the stranger, you got to know the voice of the shepherd. And I'm going to say emphatically, I feel sorry for you if you're just moving with everything that's talking. And while I'm at it, let me get on these Facebook conference calls. Zoom prophets and apostles that are in the land right now telling folks stuff that they ain't even heard from God themselves. Somebody said, boy, you sure bold. You sure bold to say that. I sure am. There's no way in the world God is telling you today the person's going to do this. Tomorrow the person's going to do that. And the next day, you ought to get out of that church you in. You're not even a member of a church. How are you going to tell somebody to get out of a church? Lord, let me ask. Hallelujah. Amen. That was a station identification. But I just want some of y'all to be careful. Really be careful. You want to hear from God so bad. And you don't even know that a lot of these people are studying your Facebook. They're studying your life. They know people that you know, and they're talking to them about you. Be careful. Be careful. And know that God is talking to you. Now, it went on. Anybody got anything to say there? I heard y'all mumbling in the background, but now I'm asking, do you have something to say? Everybody quiet. All right, well, I'm going to move on. It said, you have this woman. Uh-oh, we're going to give you some stuff now. Say, you let that woman, Jezebel, so to speak, have her way in that church. Somebody talk to me. Tell me who Jezebel is. I didn't ask you what the spirit was. Tell me about Jezebel.
Well, everybody know that Jezebel was a bona fide witch because she wanted things her way. She was a manipulator and then some. So in a nutshell, she was a bona fide witch. I'm going to leave it right there.
All right, I'm going to ask tonight, y'all better wake up and talk. I'm going to start calling your name. Amen. Listen here. Does anybody know? I know we talk about it so much, but does anybody know what Jezebel's real position was when she came to the kingdom?
She was a queen, wasn't she?
Are you asking or telling?
She was a queen. She was a wicked queen.
She was
Ahab's wife.
She was Ahab's wife. Ahab was the king. She was his wife, but he was weak. She was stronger. She convinced him and all the other people to worship other gods other than God. So she kind of ruled her husband because her husband was a wimp.
The only thing I'm going to deal with that, she became queen when she got to the palace. He brought her in. Yeah. He brought her in. She became queen when she got to the palace. But to our right, she tried to take control of the palace. She tried to take control of the palace. Sometimes we talk about what she did after she got there, but not many people talk about what she was already. She was a queen or a princess that Ahab won in war.
Right.
And she wound up coming home with Ahab and wound up, man, it's almost like some people now. You go to bed with Miss Beauty and wake up in the morning and found out you got a hellion, you done married. But I want you to understand that Ahab thought he had won a prize and found out he had a bag full of air. Lord, have mercy. I want you to understand. So it says the church or this church allowed that woman, Jezebel, into their church. Somebody tell me what that means. What possibly could that mean if they let Jezebel in? Now, I know I got several people on the line tonight.
I believe.
Tell me what that means. She doesn't get off the line? Pastor Anderson? All right.
They allow her to come in, and she manipulated so many people to worship other gods. She was strong. She was a manipulator. She was self-motivated.
Okay, before you go too far, what does it mean to come into a ministry and manipulate a ministry? What is that? Somebody help her. Let her talk, whatever you want to do. But I want to know, why does somebody come into a ministry and manipulate what is happening? Well, we are
because she thought that what they were doing was wrong.
She thought what they were doing was wrong?
Come in and when you manipulate, you come in, you take over. It's because you feel like that you are right in what you are doing. You want people to do what you're doing. They invited her in. She came in, and she wanted to change things.
Okay, I got to ask the question right there then.
What was the question?
You said two different things at the same time. You said she thought they were wrong. Then you said she had a particular way that she wanted to go and wanted them to become like her. The question of manipulation is this. Well, I'm not going to make a question. I'm going to make a statement. Manipulation is your second point. She came in with a particular way and then wanted them to flip over and do it her way. It's not so much that they see anything. A person of manipulation, it's not always that they see anything wrong. That would be a correction. But to manipulate means that something is already going right, but it's not going like you would want it to go. So you start making changes that after a while, everything starts floating your way and not the way that it was already set. Don't you be with me?
Well, you figure again, and here's the reality. There's always a bunch of Jezebels in the house of the Lord as it is. They're the ones who always are saying, if I were the pastor, I would do things this way. If I was the pastor, I would do things that way. This person wouldn't be this. I wouldn't let that go on. I would do this differently and so on. So because she had access to, because she became the king's wife, you know, she felt that she had just as much authority as the king did. Now, let me just toss this out there. When a man, or for that matter, or a woman for that matter, becomes a pastor, they, that individual, is the pastor. Their spouse isn't. Their spouse may assist them some things behind closed doors, but at the end of the day, it is that one who is the actual pastor. Now, granted, that individual may marry someone who might have a great anointing and so on and so forth, but at the end of the day, God gives the charge to either that man or that woman, and it is that man who is responsible for the people or that woman who is responsible for the people. It's that man or that woman who is the pastor who stay up all night praying for the saints. That husband or that wife, they sleeping. They ain't thinking about nothing else. They don't even want to be bothered. And so the issue is that here's an individual who really thought that she had the right to make her statements, the right to teach, the right to do what she wanted to do. Why? Because she felt that she had some clout. Let me tell you something. You know, as much as the president of the United States has a wife, she don't call the shots. I don't care what you say. Uh-uh. No, he does, because he was voted in. She came along for the ride. And people need to understand that. And so here's a woman who didn't want to come along for the ride. She wanted to drive. That's the issue, and that's how she got into doing what she wanted to do, and that becomes the problem that we deal with in today's local assembly.
All right. If that statement you made true, and I'm asking Mr. Pastor Henderson, Chanel, Kimmy Kim, Pastor Spain, I heard a voice. If the statement you made is true, then where do we get the two-head church from?
From a seven-headed dragon.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to see where everybody is. Everybody said hi at the beginning. Now they ain't saying nothing. We need to flow together tonight. All right, some of y'all, come on. That ain't said much. Or if you did say a little, I need to hear you again. Where did this
What do you need
from?
To hear, Papa?
I've never heard of a two-headed church. A two-headed church would be a deformed church.
To the If this church was in trouble for allowing Jezebel to come in, and we all said Jezebel was one that tried to take authority. If that's true, then where did the two-headed church come from?
I've never heard of a two-headed church.
Well, the wife and the husband are the pastor. Two-headed church.
Yeah.
I don't call that two-headed people.
It would be that's a two-headed church. You can't have the husband that's a pastor and the wife that's a pastor. Somebody has to be the co-pastor. Somebody has to be the lady, whoever. A two-headed church would be two apostles running the same church, not on the same agenda. Somebody's agenda is going to be off. So that's where that term and that statement came from. We see it a lot. There's the wife that wants to run the church, but the husband is the wife, as Apostle Whitlow has said. Or we see where the wife is a pastor, but the husband has the pull because he's a man. So the two-headed church is two of the same, but one has a different agenda than the other, nine times out of ten.
There was a major announcement maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago. One of the major preachers of our day got on his broadcast. It was like a little piece that was shot into the program. And he said, well, I just wanted to come in, you know. And he said it sort of nonchalantly, but he said, I just want everybody to know my wife is now a full pastor along with me. And it went back to the preacher. Well, if you're doing things that you don't believe, then why do it? Boy, and it's quiet again.
To make that other person be quiet, you just in agreement with it and you know that it's not right. That's a manipulation spirit. It's still Jezebel. It's a spirit. I'm going to do something just to keep you quiet.
Don't nobody get me wrong. I did not say on this podcast that a woman had no business pastor. If you said that
right.
to somebody, you're a liar and the truth ain't in you.
I didn't say that, so.
You had the church come from.
Uh-huh.
See, there's some things that need to be talked about in the kingdom that I think we're afraid to talk about. And I know there was a grand teaching going around, or it was supposed to be grand. It was a teaching going around about how the Lord had made man and woman equal. Now, that's how that teaching got started in recent years. I don't know how it got started through the years, but I know there was a grand teaching going on about how God had made man and woman equal and how they have always walked together and all that. But if you go back and check that, it was talking about marriage. And then even with marriage, God said that man is head over woman. And then when it talked about the spirit, it said there is no gender when it comes to spirit. So I'm trying to find out where this equality of passion comes, equality of the home comes from. And don't get me wrong, I believe together. And Pastor Whitlow, no, I'm not trying to jump over the Saturday night. This just came up in the lesson. But I'm trying to figure out how are we now taking the word to mean what we want it to mean instead of what it says.
I think, Apostle, that the reason we have this issue is because you have some men who want to accommodate their wife. And so because they want to accommodate the wife, they will give her the same kind of right and authority. But then again, that man becomes an Ahab because he's not able to operate according to the capacity in which he was ordained to operate. So this is why I believe that we have this issue within the body of Christ. Because again, this is not something that Christ did. Christ didn't say, okay, I'm going to be the head of the church and I'm going to let my bride be the head of the church as well.
I thank you for that. I think Chanel hit it real hard on the head of the nail when she said somebody's leadership is going to be off. Because they want it this way or that way. And I don't care. And I didn't say I don't believe them. But I don't care how many two-headed churches come out and they claim they had the same thought or we were thinking the same way. I think sometimes it's hogwash. No, I don't know two people that think alike, that operate alike, that move alike. Now, that takes an awful lot of prayer for two people to have the same mindset at all times. I'm not saying they can't have a mindset to church can run the world. I think that's a lot of hard work to get up and tell the people that we always had this thought together. We're moving together. Well, how long do you talk before you're moving together? I think if you're going to tell it, tell the whole story, tell the truth, because I really don't know any two people that even when you have a same thought, what do? Wow, you know, I was thinking the same thing, because it's amazing even to you. All right, I'm going to move on with the rest of this lesson, because I got a sleeping crowd tonight. So,
no, I'm awake. I'm just listening.
Who is that?
This is Kimmy Kim.
Yeah, all right.
This is a really good topic because, unfortunately, we do have a lot of churches that do have this type of setup. And I'm loving the teaching, and I'm taking notes. So there are times I need to take notes and just, you know, think on the things that I have learned. So that's a good thing. When you have people thinking, it's really good.
Well, I'm not going to apologize for what I said, but now if you go to a church where they have that kind of setup, don't go to the next service talking about, well, the man on the podcast said y'all wrong. I didn't tell you to do that. I'm just opening your eyes. The question. You go upset that church, don't call me now. You're on your own.
Oh, no.
But the things like this we need to think about when we start talking about the spirit or that nature. I wasn't in spirit yet. When we start thinking about that nature of Jezebel, that question often arises in my spirit. If the church is going to be in trouble in the last hour for a Jezebel being in the church, are we doing the right thing? I'm telling you, I'm not bringing this up because I have a prejudice about husband and wife ministry. I'm bringing this up because the Bible is saying this church is going to be in trouble at the end because of this Jezebel thing. So if we're going to be in trouble, how is it a good thing, but yet trouble later on? I guess my question tonight is the church really going in the right direction? Somebody please talk to me.
Well, I really believe that the church building is different than the church, the body of Christ. But now let's talk about the church building. I really believe that the churches, you still do have people who are going in the right direction. It's, you always going to have the weed and you always going to have the grass. But God, Jesus tells us to not to worry about the grass. They will be, you know, eventually plucked. So yes, I really believe that the church is going in the right direction because Jesus is the church. No matter who is over the church, when we call the church building, the word of God will stand the test of time. We're going to have the Antichrist in the church. We're going to have all of those different things that says that we are gods and this is how you should do and Jesus is God is a female and all of that. You're going to have all of those in confusion because they want to manipulate your mind. When you know who you are and whose you are, and you, if you're led by the Spirit of God, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Yeah, there's confusion, but you have to understand Jesus was tempted, but he is the Son of God, so he was able to overcome the temptation. We are able to overcome the temptation if we continue on, you know, focusing on the Lord. So, no, I don't believe that the church is going in a bad direction. Yes, we're going to have those. We're going to have those bad apples and the good apples. We're going to have people who are trying to do the right thing. Then we're going to have those who are the Judas of the church. But that is not my focus. My focus is to stretch towards the high calling mark, which is in Christ Jesus, to continue on doing the best I can as a believer and keeping my eye on Jesus as I get out that boat and walk on water. That is my focus. The moment I start worrying about what other people are doing, then my focus becomes on people. And that's how some people get church hurt, because they take their focus away from God and onto people. So I don't care who is in charge of what building. I don't care who is doing what. Yes, the church is still doing its work. Now it's up to people to decide that. But I believe that can no one touch the building of Jesus Christ. So yes, I really believe that the church is heading in the right direction. Now, if you want to focus on what the church is doing in the building, we are all, if you want to go there, you have to remember also that the church building is a hospital for sick people like me. I'm still sick. And so, yeah, we may see some things that are a lot of things out of order in the building. But at the same token, I really believe that if we continue on praying for those who are doing things that is contrary to the Bible, that our prayers can get answered. And I don't care what's going on. I'm still believing in Jesus coming back and for his church, and we'll be caught up in the air, and we're going to get that right-hand fellowship with that wonderful judgment. You've been faithful a few things. You know, I really believe all of those things. So when we focus on, like, the church building on earth, it's going to be jacked up because we're still people in this flesh. But when we get that glorified body, I'm just saying. I mean, I don't see anybody on earth who's going to be perfect. And so that would be my comment.
Okay.
So that's your two. I'm sorry. I was interrupting.
Who was that?
It's this nail. I'm going to go with, I understand exactly what you just said, Kim. And if we're going by everything that you're saying, but we also have to go by what the Bible says. And in Revelation, it says that Jezebel is in the church. And it's warning us to get ourselves
exactly
right.
That's the people in the church, absolutely. But what I was saying is
right,
that the body of Christ, which is Jesus Christ, cannot go the wrong direction. Now, yeah, the church building, I agree. Yeah, a lot of spirits.
Okay, and I'm grateful y'all went the same way. I'll get ready to go, because you brought up something very interesting. Now, as we discovered earlier this year, there's a word ecclesia, two K's, and ecclesia, two C's, which means pretty much the same thing, the called out body of Christ. Let me deal with that, and then I also want to deal with that other statement you said, talking about the foundation and structure or the building. Now, I want to make this as clear as I can. I don't want anybody to leave confused talking about what was she talking about, what were they talking about. The body of Christ is the church all day long. I don't care how much we come to the temple. The people are the body of Christ, the church, all day long. Jesus said, upon this rock. The rock was the statement of truth that Peter had made to you. Now, that was a person. He didn't build it on Peter. He built it on the statement of truth that Peter had just made. So he begins to deal with the ecclesia, the body called out. And he begins to deal with a statement of truth through the body. And from there, he begins to build the body or the church from that very statement. And the church show, because we've been beating up women so far, but Jezebel or that spirit could be male or female if you are allowed it to work in you. We'll make that plain now. The thing about it is, the spirit of Jezebel in the building and working in the midst of the believers. That's why I want to make it plain that. Because this spirit is working in the midst of the believers. No matter how deep we trying to act, there's a Jezebel loose and ain't nobody doing nothing to it or to it. And nobody's really capturing that spirit, getting it out of the church. That's what the book of Revelation just said. So it's in both places, in the building and amongst the church. Now watch this. I think where the manipulation is, she's getting the call out one's mind for that spirit. Is getting the called out one's mind off of Jesus and getting into brick and mortar worship. We got the greatest church. We got the greatest choir. Our preacher is the only one that really knows how to preach. You know, the one down the church, the one down the street, he do all right, but he can't do like our preacher. You know, obviously this is the baddest thing in town. Your mind is now off Jesus and to everything that's happening inside the structure. And inside the structure, I'm glad you got what you got, but it don't mean a hill of beans if you don't have Jesus. And that's what's going on in a lot of places now. It has now become inside the temple worship. But where is Jesus? Somebody has done manipulated the mind that we are the greatest and everything in here is the greatest. But they keep leaving out the greatest is Jesus. If you apply this church, you're all right. You're the greatest. You're going to have the best. And you know, everything good is going to happen for you. But what about them receiving Jesus? What about them moving with Jesus? What about them learning from Jesus? I mean, I'm here for this child, but this brick and mortar ain't teaching me nothing, ain't going to give me nothing. If anything, I'm going to die in this brick and mortar, and ain't nobody going to know because the brick and mortar can't say nothing. So why are we so excited about the houses we are in called, so-called the church, when this was never called the church in Scripture? I ain't going to get into that tonight. That's a long conversation. But this has never been called the church. So why are we so excited about structure and not Jesus? Wake up. Wake up. Get in the shut in. Stay in the shut in. Did Pastor Henderson leave us?
I'm still here. I was talking earlier and my phone was on mute, and so I didn't want to come back.
Lord, you should have came back. All right, go ahead.
Well, I mean, there's so much, I guess, to be said. And I guess from one aspect, when you think about the Jezebel spirit, I mean, she was one who did manipulate, and she was also a murderer also. She killed the prophets. She also instituted Baal worship among the people of God. Those are two things to really focus in on in a lot of ways, because that spirit comes with an agenda. It comes with the spirit of error. It comes with the spirit to pull you away from the one and true living God to serve something else other than God. And anytime you move away from God, and anytime anything pulls you away from the truth of God's word, you're in trouble. Your congregation is in trouble. And so many times we allow traditions and we allow the worldly ideals to come into the church to try to solve spiritual problems. And you can't solve spiritual problems with worldly ideals and worldly thoughts and suggestions in trying to incorporate it into a godly plan. You know, there is one plan, and God has one agenda, and he is one God. And anything, anytime you stray from that foundation, Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and you sway from that foundation, you're going in another direction. And so many times when the foundation is being shifted and minds are being swayed and thoughts are coming in that is opposing to God, anytime you get away from the scripture, the word of God, you know, when you're talking about the two heads in the church, there's no scriptural for that. There's no foundation in the word of God about two leaders or two pastors in the church. So in my mindset, right away, that's anti-God because it's not scripture. And so many times we tolerate things and allow things to be incorporated into worship services, into the services of the Lord in whatever capacity, that has no scriptural foundation. And so and a lot of times what happens, that brings another spirit in, another spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but another spirit in. And because it's popular, because maybe it's causing things to happen that you desire in that service or in that church, you know, so you have all these new things coming in, and, yeah, we're grabbing young people, and we're doing this, and we're doing it. God never told us to go into the world and bring worldly ideals to bring in souls. If the word doesn't draw you, you know, anything else is not even of God. So I think that it's so much to be said about that spirit. It's so much because it also was a spirit of mixed worship. I mean, she was bringing in these false gods, wanting them. They were going up on the groves and worshiping. Then they had others who were going up on the groves worshiping idol gods. And the enemy is a god of mixed worship. So if he can get your mind to mix in a little bit of holiness with a little bit of carnality, a little bit of sin, you know, the Bible says a little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. A little bit of sin is sin. It contaminates. And when you tolerate something that you know is anti-word, anti-God, and you allow it to come in to be a part of whatever it is, whether it's your service, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your family, when you open that door, you are shifting from the foundation. You have allowed something else now to come in and to manipulate. And if you don't take hold of it, and if you don't recognize it, if you don't cut it off, then that spirit of control, that spirit of manipulation now becomes a spirit of deception and a stronghold that alters things, that shifts things and changes atmospheres and changes situations. And you're wondering why things are happening the way they happen, because you have tolerated or has allowed this spirit to come in and get comfortable. But if it's something that's outside of the word of God, it is, and you can have a murdering spirit sitting right there dressed all up, sing real good, have real talent, you know, and all of this. But so oftentimes we compromise the Holy Spirit for talent, you know, and for a whole lot of other things. But all the time you have to understand what spirit is this that is doing all these things. By what spirit is this person operating? And so, you know, that spirit is a hidden spirit. It can be a cunning spirit. But when you have the Holy Spirit, you have a discernment that also lets you know that when that spirit is in operation. And we as leaders have to be aware of that because that spirit has destroyed many of churches, has brought much confusion and much controversy in congregations, and has robbed so many things from the church because that spirit wasn't dealt with. It's not just that right there for now.
When I grow up, I want to be just like you.
Wait, and I'm glad you're with us. But all of that statement, you are learning something in me. There's a lot of preaching going on now about the spirit of Canaan is in the music department where it is not supposed to be in Jerusalem. So I want to ask, is that also Jezebel, the spirit of Canaan in the music in Jerusalem?
Are you asking general or are you asking specific?
I'm asking anybody.
No, that's that Canaanic spirit, that Canaanic spirit that's in the church, musically speaking, of course we all know its originator and where it stems from. It's a second rate offering of worship. They have good intentions, but the truth of the matter is it's garbage that's been dressed up. And that's what it comes down to when you look at it. No, it's not the spirit of Jezebel, because as my sister already said, Jezebel was vindictive, a murderer, sadistic, evil, every foul thing you could think of. She wouldn't offer anything cunning or crafty, because Jezebel just wasn't cunning or crafty. She was straight, right to the point. If she say I'm going to cut your throat, I'm going to cut your throat. End of story. So, no, that's just pure Canaanic worship. And, you know, it pretty much has been here since as far back as we could remember.
I'm just trying to make sure we have an understanding of what is Jezebel, so that we don't go from here. Can I praise some of the preachers that is preaching this? Amen. God bless her soul. Lord knows I love her preaching. But the late, great Iona talked on this a great deal. But Jezebel and the Canaan music had nothing to do with each other.
Mm-mm.
I want people to know now in your churches, I don't think you ought to just sit back and say the Canaan music is all right. But it
no, it's not.
The same spirit. They are not the same spirit. Now, if you got a problem with how much your musician won't be paid and he run around the church, yeah, that guy, they ain't gave him my so-and-so money. Well, he need to get off the organ anyhow, because his spirit ain't right. But don't mix them two spirits together. And I'm going to say this wide open tonight. If you have agreed to give him $5.50 a week and the pastor don't get paid for $4.75, that is your fault. Pay up. It shouldn't be like that, but you agreed to it. Now you got to pay up. That's why musicians went on a strike in the Old Testament, because they weren't being paid according to agreement. And if you're not going to do what you say, then work the contract in a way where you wanted that and not trying to keep somebody, because I got news for you. Even at $5.50, if the people down the street tell him or her $5.60, your musician is gone. I know what I'm talking about, because it done happened here. For $10 more, the musician was gone. So don't think you're holding somebody by giving them a big astronomical price for their playing, because they'll leave you just as bad as anybody else. Let somebody offer them a few more dollars. They'll play a couple of Sundays and act like they got problems at home. They have somebody else church getting used to becoming the musician. Hello! Hallelujah. Feel like shouting right now. But this Jezebel spirit comes, amen, to bring a whole nother style of worship where people think they're praising God and something demonic of slipped into the ministry. Something that is totally crazy of slipped into the house. And old Ahab with himself stand up there smiling. Ooh, I tell y'all, God sure ain't good up in here today. God ain't even in the place.
Ain't even close to the building.
Father, we have no reason for. We done went a long time. We got about 2.5 verses, maybe. Or a verse and a half. Father, you still with us? All right, somebody pick up the reading. We were down there with Jezebel got the church. Chapter 2.
Come on, yo.
Don't nobody have a Bible.
Well, I've got my iPad, but I've got to find where we are. It'll take a minute. I'm hoping somebody
else
reads.
What's the scripture? I'm sorry.
It was Revelation chapter 2, down where Rahab had got, not Rahab, down where Jezebel was in the house.
Okay, let's go back. I'm looking for the scripture number. I'm in Revelation 2. Are we in the... Which church are we in?
Church.
Are we in Smyrna? Are we in Pergamos? Okay. Well, I can start on 8 if that's where. I'm not sure where he left off at.
We left off
at verse
18. Okay. Thank you, my sister. Okay, so it reads.
Oh, don't even try.
Oh, I love my sister. We got a good. But anyways, and unto the angel of the church, and thy, please pronounce that. I don't know that one. Right. These things.
Thyatira.
Right. These things said the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and clarity, charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things.
Will Grinch, stop right there. See, that's how she got her manipulation going. She came in claiming she was a prophetess. I got a word. I know some things. And so that's how she worked her manipulation. All right, go ahead.
Okay. And fornication, and to eat things sacrificial unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. And she repented not.
He said, I gave her space to do what?
To repent.
Repent.
Of her fornication.
Of what?
Fornication.
Fornication. Now somebody explain to me, according to what we're reading, what fornication did she commit?
Having sex with someone that is not your spouse.
That's not
well, it was fornication. Well, I mean, we know what it is in the physical, but spiritually speaking, it was a seducing spirit that she used to manipulate and to coax people into sinning as a way of life.
Well, you have to and explaining more clearly.
So are you saying in the spirit realm, fornication, or I like the old way the old folks used to say it, are you saying fornication is when somebody takes you out of love with God and starts causing you to make love to Satan again? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, hey, listen, you might as well eat leeks and garlic if you're going to do all that, because that's pretty much where you are.
So holy fornication is
holy.
When you're not with the right partner. I mean, the same as in the natural. I'm just trying to paint it clear for you. It's when we're not with the right partner, but spiritually, it's about your spirit. It's not about your sexual part in the natural. So she came in and she caused people, here we go, not to fall from grace. Not to backslide. She caused them to fall from grace. They were in the church and not in the church at the same time.
They were
that's
physically
what,
in the church, but spiritually separated.
Thank you. That's what Jezebel would do. Jezebel will still let you come to church, sing on the choir, be on the usher board, all the good stuff of the church, but you don't have no spirit to reach nowhere and go.
Yeah.
That's right. That's pretty much
you're committing fornication.
Wow.
You're going with God and the devil at the same time. And what is
God
doing? I get that easy one. What does Stevie want to say? Love and do ain't easy to do.
Well, let's remember this too, Apostle. And, you know, Pastor Darden was famous for this little saying. Well, actually, Pastor Bishop Moody was famous for this one. God ain't looking for no part-time lover.
Right. And you know what? Before you said that, I was just thinking about that statement and didn't know where I got it from.
Bishop Moody used to say that all the time. All the time. And she'd preach up a half a storm and then a full storm. And God ain't looking for no part-time lover. And then stop and wipe her mouth.
Amen.
And so my reasoning, first of all, for even dealing with this book of Revelation is not to scare the bejesus out of anybody. It's to open up the fact God spoke to me as I was thinking on these seven churches. He says, man of God, these seven churches is representing seven spirits that's in the church right now.
Yep.
He said, I want you to talk about it. Now, 1 week we talked about a backsliding church. Another week we talked about the church that said they were Hebrew and were not Hebrew. We talked about the 5 sinners, the 50 sinners. And he even talked about those in the house of God who are now learning Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, and all that stuff. And now they're trying to act like they were born Hebrew. You a liar, and the truth ain't me. Just because you know some words, it don't mean that you are of that nationality. It means you have a sense. You have a sense of knowing the scriptures, or they're doing a little better. I believe that the Jews were, the original Jews were black. But I ain't walking around talking about I'm one of the Jews they're looking for. No, I'm not. I'm born in New Haven, Connecticut. Yeah,
amen. Amen.
I am an African-American black Negro man that lives in New Haven, Connecticut. Born in New Haven, Connecticut. Raised up New Haven, Connecticut. And the truth be told, I can put all those three things into one title. I'm a black man in New England. So, you know, this is what the Bible was talking about. And they were acting like they were Jews, so that God said at the end, I'm going to let you be a Jew, all right. I'm going to show you just what faith folk, where they're going. I have no room for faith. I didn't make a place for those who are phony about who they are. Because you must understand the Hebrew people are both a language and a religion at the same time. Oh, my
and
God.
The culture.
We got to talk about that one week.
This and the culture. Don't forget that part.
That one week.
We sure do. You got to talk about they're a culture as well. A
my.
Culture that's separated from the rest of the world.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that one week. How Israel is all things in one. See, we are people who are not a people, who are trying to become a people. They always were a people. Oh, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to try to stay with Jezebel. So much good coming out. I tell you. All right. So he offered Jezebel a chance to repent of all the fornication she was causing, but the Bible says she what?
Wouldn't do it.
Huh?
She refused to repent.
Read it. Wouldn't
do it.
Are y'all looking at the Bible or just wondering in the air?
Okay, I am back. We are now on 21.
So when he offered her a chance to repent, what did she do?
Yes. She repents not.
What?
Behold, I will cast her into a bed and down. That commit adultery.
Let's not go that far. You mean all the manipulation she was working in the church. The Lord offered her an opportunity to get forgiven of it, and she wouldn't.
She would not. Nope.
Yes, please.
But we're living in a sad hour. Because that means folks know what they're doing. And God got a heart of love, so he's still going to offer you a chance. And they're not taking it.
That's that prideful spirit.
Well, you know what? I was just getting ready to say that. That's that spirit of pride that so many people have that they just, it's hard to explain. You know what I'm saying? Just hard to explain.
But let's tell
go ahead.
Did we know that this many spirits were alive in the church right now without us doing this study?
I'm going to be honest with you, Apostle. I go back to the scriptures when Jesus cast the spirits out of the gathering, and he asked what their name was. When they said legion, that should have told us right there that those spirits had to go somewhere. Them spirits went into the swine, but them spirits didn't die. They just drove the swine crazy. And as soon as the swine drowned, they went out and started roaming the earth again. And trust me, there was some super saved saint who, I love the Lord, he heard my cry and pitied every groan. You can't make me sin, the biggest sinner in the country.
I'm sorry, I said that out loud. Every church we have read about thus far, God is not just telling a story. He's trying to show us a spirit that is operating and alive and well in the body of Christ right now.
Yes.
That's really what these stories or these scriptures are about, trying to wake us up to what's happening in the body of Christ right now if we don't minister to it. Why do you think we got so many premarital babies? Why do you think there's so many homosexuals? Why? And that's gay or lesbian. If you want me to come through with the short enough word, why do you think we got the LGBTQ, M, Y, whatever you are, amen? But I want you to understand, amen, I want you to hear what time we got. Because we're getting ready to get some stuff now. What time we got?
I have 11:26.
Oh, I got to make this quick. I'm not going to ask you to read it. That, or maybe I should hold it till next week. I'm just going to peek at it. I'm going to peek at it. He said to us, I'm not even going to deal with it. He said to us, I'm going to take you and what you are doing and lay you on a mattress in the middle of the street. What, Alpha? Oh, my Lord. Alpha said, we got to go. He said, it's been a very, very naughty, amen, audience tonight. Very, very bad panel tonight. We cannot finish. He said, he must stop. He said, must stop. It must stop. There have not been a nice audience tonight. So if you want the conclusion of this church, you must come back next week. And remember, next week, she's getting ready to be taken outside and laid on a mattress. That should make you want to come back and see what in the world is somebody taking somebody outside and lay them on a mattress for. Well, my brothers and sisters, amen, that's all we can give you tonight. Amen, we've tried to share so much with you until we're going to have to come back next week and give you some more. I don't know what happened to the apostle. Amen. Thank God the Bishop Elect came in. Thank God for Pastor Henderson. Thank God for Sister Nell, for Kimmy Kim, and Moses. Thank God for Pastor Faith. Thank God for God keeping me alive. I wouldn't have wanted to miss this discussion for nothing. Amen. Know this, that God is still able to save your soul from whatever sin has brought you into. He's able to bring you out and make you new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want you to know tonight, you have a chance to turn around and make your life better. The cross is real. The blood is real. Your mouth confession that I now take Jesus as Lord and I live for him is more real than you know. Why don't you try doing that and find out in Jesus' name. Amen. I say good night to all you lovely people, and shalom, shalom. See you all next week. Kimmy Kim, F music, make it work.
Persecution, I can make it. On Christ, solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and
righteousness.
I do not trust the sweet frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. My
peace,
my
joy,
my confidence,
in his name.
hear his name.
My hope is in the name of the Lord.